We had some questions already handed in relative to this matter of Nab Holmes and the problems attached thereto. I did a little, I made a list of a few questions here myself, and so I think we'll kick this off right away with one of the most basic of all. Now, here's what I'd like us to do in this next 30 to 35 minutes, and that is, I am not the source on this. You are both the questioners and the source of the answers. There are people here with a good deal of experience, and I think my job here is simply to help moderate and so that we have some means of sharing what we have learned. And I don't think it's necessary, for instance, that we have any pronouncements as to who agrees on what. The point is, if you found an answer, something that you think works, you mention it, and others can relate this to their own situation. So this is an opportunity to pool some of our knowledge and experience. I think to begin with, we're talking about Nab Holmes, and of course children in the home, and all of these problems related thereto. I suppose that to be wise, we ought to start out with the objective of a Nab Holme. Why have one in the first place? Because that in itself, I think, will help to answer a lot of questions. And oftentimes our problems are complicated because this is not clear. So one question that was handed in by one, I think it came from the ladies' get-together, at least Lisa gave these to me. What is the consensus from those able to evaluate on the merits of operating a big Nab Holme situation? Would a smaller setup with less traffic and administrative load mean more to lives and the ministry in the long run? Well, you know what that leads us back to. What's the purpose of a Nab Holme anyway? Why have one? What we call a Nab Holme, namely, family home opened up to people living with you. This is what we're talking about. People living with you that are not offspring. Okay, somebody start right out. I'll call on somebody in a minute. In fact, I'll just do that. I think we'll start right out with Jim White. Jim, tell us what's the purpose of a Navigator home. Why have people live in your home at all, outside your family? Do you have people living in your home?
Right.
Do you know why you're having people live in your home? Okay.
Well, there's several purposes. Lord, I think one is that it contributes to creating a team, living and working together. Jesus lived and spent 24 hours a day seeing him with his 12. So this is the pattern of Christ. I think it's amazing. And then I think for a lot of these men, they're going to spend their life as a family man and give them an opportunity to see a Christian home in action.
We'll ask somebody else to add to this. Let's see. Walt, do you have people living in your home that are not blood relatives?
Yes.
Of course, your wife's not a blood relative either, as far as that's concerned. That's not true. But aside from your personal family, you do. Why do you have, any additional reasons to add to this? The purpose of a home. Nab Holme. Any other additional comments on why have a Navigator home? Now, does anybody? Yes, Jerry.
And discover
Okay? Any other comments? Yes, Percy?
I guess the other, but I mean, it helps in ministry too. Because right now,
is anybody who's clever with notes? I'm sure there's somebody here that has, could pretty well recapitulate right now. What are the basic reasons that have been given for having a home? All right, Dave?
Home area?
Yes.
Contribute to the team ministry, and this was the pattern of Christ, number one. Number two is seeing the Christian home in action. Number three, to deal with men, building their lives better. And I think Marshall will amplify this, to observe them better, to in order to more easily benefit them. Number four, to impart the vision. And they have a vision that God has given them. Number five, they assist in the ministry.
All right. Now, a navigator home, then, is a solution to something. It is one solution to something. Would you give us the first on that list again, Dave?
Contribute to the team ministry.
All right, so having them live in your home is an alternative. What's another alternative to blend them together as a team? Stan?
Put the fellows, the team fellows, in an apartment nearby.
But you're still saying that the basic underlying idea then is that they must live together, or preferably live together, in order to form a team.
I think
taking it with you in the ministry. Do you think that would substitute for having them live in your home? Let me ask you something. Do you area men, I won't carry this on too long because we want to get the matter of the children and so on. But do you have your main area team living in your home, or is your main area team living outside your home? How about, let me see, Soderbergh, do you have people in your home?
No.
You don't. Now, let's see. You do, Jim. Is your main area team members live in your home, or do you have people living in your home and your main area team is another group yet?
Well, shifted since the
men did. You've moved your team in.
But
you've moved the team into the home then. And you're a regional man, and of course that changes the picture a little. Let's take an area man. What about you, Walt?
I'd say that my main area team lives with us in the home, but I'd also say that not all of the main area team live in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that do live in the home are.
How about you, Denny? What was the next point on that list, then?
Seeing the Christian home in action.
All right. Is there any alternative? In other words, is first of all, is that a basic need that you have with the people with whom you're working? To see a Christian home in action? Is that a great enough need to have them live in your home? Walt says yes. Buzzy says yes. Jim? Very definitely. Jane?
Some people need it, some don't. Individual situation.
Hmm? Yes?
I'm amazed by how many people in our home come to go to home.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other alternative to meeting that need than having them live with you?
Well,
Okay, what was next on that list?
To deal with men better, to build into their lives, to see them as they are.
Mm-hmm. Are there any else? Does that have to be done in a home? Yes, John? Are there any other alternatives to doing it?
In Kenya, we had the situation of the fellows just working together every hour a day in the office as an alternative in the home.
Okay, what was the next on this list?
To impart the NAV vision.
To impart the NAV vision. Now, is it necessary to have them live with you for this? Some shake their head no. What do you think? Yes?
It seems to me that there are alternatives to all these things. We talk about them in those that we have yet, but the idea of the whole is that you can do them better. That in a way, there's one common thing to all of these points we've mentioned. That is, in the home, you get to see these people in almost 100% of the circumstances of life, and they can see you in the same way, so that you can know them as they really are. And vice versa, so that there are alternatives, but none of them do the job to the extent that living in the home does. The only one I can think of is you might move into a dormitory.
No thanks. Now, what other factors would you take into consideration now in having people deciding to have a navigator home? And whether or not you should have people in your home. What other factors would you consider other than as a means to solve or to provide for some of these needs? What would be another factor you take in consideration before you'd have someone in your home?
You need
a car? No, just any factor. You're deciding now, you're out in an area, you've got a job to do. I'm trying to make a point here. And I think it's necessary to make it. But now you're saying, now let me see, what kind of a house am I going to get? What are the other factors? You take in consideration what you want to accomplish in the lives of people. What else do you take in consideration?
The type of ministry that you have in that area.
Yeah, give us an illustration on that, Dave.
Well, such as Ripco's type of ministry that he's having of being out and
you wouldn't have them live in your home. Yes, right. Yes?
I think the length of time that you've been in the area is a key factor.
And in what way would that be a key factor, Ron?
Well, I remember when we moved into Omaha, we immediately inherited four people. And really, they didn't know us, and we didn't know them. And this had some problems and complications. If we'd been in, say, a little apartment for a while and gotten other people, then invited them.
All right, Bill?
I think that the people we have in, the selected here, they in turn will do the same thing later on sometime. And this way we'll have more recruited to do raising the wages.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other considerations you take in? Yes?
I think probably one of the obvious ones is that I have four, my wife and three children.
All right, yes, your health factor. And good. And Carol?
Well, I'm okay with children. You had a special, your children have a special.
Right. Yes, Bob?
I say if a couple is ready, they're moving into there, that would be a consideration. Mm-hmm. But as Brian Burke mentioned, if a man came out of the room, they're ready. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Doris?
I wonder about one of the things you
Well, I think what this demonstrates is that a navigator representative is not a person who has a navigator home. A navigator representative is going out to do a certain job, namely the recruitment and the development of people as laborers for Christ. A home is a tool. It is a possibility. It's an alternative that's available to us to help accomplish that job. And therefore, for anyone to go out and just say, now let me see, what does a navigator do? Oh yes, they have a home and people living with them. See, that's then you have let yourself in for all kinds of problems. But if it's really clear as to why you are having a home, and you consider all the situations, consider the alternatives to what you want to accomplish, then you decide you're going to have people in that home, then you've got it. You've gone a great distance towards an understanding of on what basis, who to invite, what basis to have them, and so on. So I would think that anybody having people in their home ought to be able at any time to flip open a notebook or out of their memory and say, we have people living in our home in this time for these reasons. This is what we're trying to do. And if you don't, I wonder whether you should have them in your home at all. Because, and particularly at certain stages of your family's life, I think you should really have thought it through and prayed it through. Now, there is such a thing as a family circle, the family unit, and so on, that there is a point here. And when you open up your family, and we feel that through the years, under the right circumstances, that the cost has been worth the results. But be sure you know why. And all I'm trying to point out is that there are alternatives. And let's think a little wider and a little deeper on this subject. Now, let's jump right into a little bit deeper here. Would like some discussion on the use of a home. The principle found helpful in having men live in the home. For instance, do you have any understanding with people as you invite them into your home? Anything that you find that's helpful to get clear? I think this is the kind of a thing that we're looking for. And John, you've had people in your home for years. What would be some of the understandings that you would have with a person as they moved into your home?
Details?
Yes, name two or three things. Just,
yeah.
Right.
Well, I spend quite a few hours and maybe even days in orientation. And as a rule, we have a period that they come in and then we review this and they can move out if they want to. But I go over such things as what we'll be doing, our schedule, what will be expected of him, in regard to details and chores, what he can expect of me, what and when he can find information, if there's anything he doesn't understand at any given moment. In regard to conduct.
Now let's stop on one of these. Now, John, let's take chores. What do you specifically, now in more detail, tell them that you expect as far as chores around the house are concerned?
Well, I tell him that he's invited as a member of the family. And since we don't have a maid service or a butler service, there's certain details that have to be done. And I want him to accept the responsibility of all the details in the house. Of course, he doesn't accept the responsibility for my personal wash, for instance. But anything about the house that would come under his sight as a son, he should have a responsibility for that. That doesn't mean that everything he back and deliver it. But rather than giving him chores, that your job is to clean a certain bathroom at a certain time, a certain week, giving him the entire responsibility. Then we break up and divide up these chores throughout the week, at the garage and the horticulture, waxing, repair, paint, etc.
All right, somebody else, either underline or add to this or tell us what you feel is wise to get clear with the person. Now, I'd be interested to know, for instance, let's leave the... No, we better stick with this one subject. We won't get time. Anybody else add to that? What do you make sure is clear with a person when they come into move in your home or before they do? Danny? Are there any questions or suggestions on the point of the basis on which they're invited in and the understanding? Well, yes, Smitty first. You didn't have an invitation, negotiation, affair with them. They're there. That's right. Any other comment on this matter of this particular phase, the children, the relationship to it? And I
didn't hear fully what Elvin said there.
All right,
Elvin. I couldn't hear
the question. That's a kick, because he didn't hear you. He wants to know specifically what understanding you have with people who live in your home relative to their relationship to your children.
Would you
have the original
comment?
This is Dave Bradley. You tell us those 2 points again. John?
I found it very important to spend a lot of time with the young men in my home regarding children rather than the children regarding young men, to explain to them why a child acts like he does, and to help educate them. And some of these things are rather self-evident to us all, I'm sure, that have children. But the young fellows, they don't know this. And I'm sure I made glaring mistakes. Some I remember and I wept over when I lived in your home and others' home. But because I feel so badly about that, I explained to the fellows. For instance, if the kid is on one of his fellows and just warped out of shape completely. I explained to the fellows that you're this 2-year-old is trying to compete with 14 adults and adjust his personality to 14 adults. It's rather hard. In fact, we find it rather hard to adjust to one another, and we're slightly beyond you. And it seems to help the fellow to understand why he's acting. And they won't think he's just a brat, but they'll be sympathetic with my problem.
You have the floor, John.
In regard to who has the responsibility, I was thinking through on that, and it seems to me that there's Jeanette or Vernon or Patty has a responsibility to doctor the child, to stay with the child and get up at night with him when we're taking our out-of-town trip, to wash his dirty diapers, then this person has a responsibility to swat him or to wear him out if necessary when he needs him. But great big football players who don't have a responsibility to stay up with a sick child doesn't have a responsibility to lay a hand on him. The privilege and responsibility. And this seems to just work beautifully. And I explained this to the fellow, that you don't have a responsibility, not have a privilege. And then I explained to the girls, if you're the real mother to this child and held away, then you correct it. And don't you worry one thing about it, if I can assure you. They seem to like it.
Yes, Joyce.
I think the opposite of that can work true too. When your kids are teenagers, they just delight in helping train the dog. So that actually makes sense,
yeah. Yeah. Now, as you look back, some of you have had some years of experience on this. I wonder if there are any other lessons that you would have to share that, as you look back, you would suggest other people avoid, or certain things that you did that you'd say, I'm sure glad we did that, and I'd like to pass it along. Don't miss this, as far as children and people in the home are concerned. Ed?
I would say an obvious one that needs to be said, love, when people are living together. There can't be a hierarchy or an organization. There has to be a real love. I mean, our first family, your home, was an impossible situation. But because of love, it's terrific. I mean, when you look at it on paper, it could never work. But because of the love, the fellows in the home, it did.
This probably pertains to older children, but I think to incorporate the children in the selection of who comes in to the home, so we actually vote on it. And one negative vote rules the person out.
It seems to me that, and for most of you have younger children, that it'll be a totally different story when they get in the teens. And that is a much more complex situation than you now face. Lucy and I think, in retrospect, we feel that the pros and cons of having people in our home when the children are little, that we think that the pros decidedly win out. But when they're in teenagers, that's a totally different thing. And this is why I took so much time on why do you want people in your home? Are there other alternatives? And what is it going to cost? So you have to keep rethinking that all through your ministry. To have the answers now for your situation today, you must rethink this whole thing 5 years from now, and then rethink it again after that. That's the reason I brought all that rigmarole in here. So this is a good point, and bear this in mind as we're talking about this thing. Now, some of you, what about it? Leroy, I'm going to ask you. You've had people in your home. Your children are now getting older. As you look back, what do you and Virginia pick out as helpful and hindrances, things that you maybe would have done different if you would feel free to share some of these things, or things that you did that you felt were right, as you see the effects now of older children having grown up in a house full of kids, I mean of people, when they were little kids?
I think one thing that we've, as you look back, the ones that moved into our home that we knew loved the kids, and we observed that while they were still out in the bushes somewhere before they came in the home, that was a real advantage. Because then they were accepted by them and accepted the kids on the basis of love. The kids loved them and they loved the kids. And that really helped us. The second big advantage in having people in our home was that now as we have kids in junior high and high school, they run into a lot of things down there that are looked upon as pretty nice stuff as far as the world is concerned and the kind of people they idolize. Athletes, singers, you name it, it's available to the high school, you know, the junior high kid today. But our kids have lived with the real thing. They have seen young men and young women who are genuine, and they can put this example against this one. And when it gets late at night and we're talking about this, they know what the real, genuine article really is because they've lived with it. They've seen it. And it's been just young enough to, so it wasn't an old gray-haired dad, and they expect that of him, I think. And they expect me to preach sermons and so on. The big disadvantage and the mistake that I made, and that I think both Virginia and I made, was that we were so taken up in the ministry of reaching people for Christ and discipling people on a rather wide basis there in the area, that when someone would begin to talk about the soul that he had just won to Christ, or the guy that had just gotten started in the bee racing, and when Larry or Becky wanted to show me a picture they had just colored, or some little thing they had just made, the soul or the bee racing won that out hands down every time. So that it was difficult for them to really get into my life. And the problem, therefore, of not consciously, but just shunting them aside, not now, not now, and getting on with what I consider to be the real ministry, that was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I think it'd be well for that one to sink in for a little while. And if you, with young ones coming up, can just remember this. And that picture they colored is important. And this will avoid some difficulties later on. Let's appreciate that very much, Leroy. Is there anyone else that has something that they would like to share that they feel that they have learned? And as they look back now, because that's what you want to know, you with younger children, well now, what's the reaction on how they react later on? Saif? Any other comment on the subject of children? Let me ask you this question. This question says, could we have some discussion on practical, and the word practical is underlined, ways of coping with the emotional stresses involved in fitting into your husband's life? And so let's apply this to a home situation where you have children, you have people living in your home. What have you found helpful as man and wife in such simple things as maintaining a united front? You know, for instance, when it comes to the children, that there is not a obvious dissension in front of the children as to what the policy is. When do you get your policies ironed out and on the matter of handling the home and what you're going to do with the children and so on? How do you and your wife work this out? What mechanisms do you use? How do you proceed on this? Walt?
I remember when we moved to Kalamazoo, it's been about a year ago now, when Jack Mayhall gathered and made the plan together and preached to us on the importance of dating our wife. He said, in the days of courtship, you take them out and make over them, and now that you're married, you neglect it. He preached to us quite some time on the importance of having a date night with our beloved. And I haven't been as faithful as I should, but I never forgot.
When you are faithful, then what do you do? Whatever she wants to do. Well, what do you like to do? Is that if it can be, you know, it's all right, we'd like to. Well, well, it says practical, we'd like to know. How do we come out there? Well, what do you like to do? You mind telling us? I see a lot of wives' heads going down. Hey, and fellow, that wouldn't be too expensive either. I got 50 cents left of this month's allowance. I think I can even manage that. I mean, this is June. Oh, that's good. This is what we want to know. What have some others learned, Dave? Well, I tell you, I imagine if we would begin to really let our hair down and share some of the things, you know, where you look at one another and you both burst out laughing and because you recall some incident, I imagine we could be hilarious all afternoon, couldn't we? Well, I trust that this little discussion has been helpful and that we can continue this. If you have specific questions of those you think of may have some answers, or at least if you don't always have answers, you can have further questions that help get toward the answers. So shall we pause now for a word of prayer? Jerry Marshall, how about you leading us in prayer? Would you please?